everybody. Welcome back to Jesus and Jill Just for Today. Today, I feel like we need to talk about developing a family practice of confession. I probably get asked this more often than anything. How do you do that? How do you get your kids to talk so openly with you? How does something like that work? And I feel as though everybody starts out with this kind of a relationship with their kids, but we can either grow it because we practice it, or we can kind of, over time, we can put it to death. And so that's really where I feel like the Lord wants us to focus today. And it all started because of a conversation that TJ and I had the other night while we were walking the dogs. TJ, over dinner, used a slang term for male genitalia that he did not know was something that would get him in trouble at school, more than likely. And we kind of like, I don't think I overtly gasped, but I chuckled a little bit and I was like, buddy, what do you think that word means? And he was like, I just figured it meant bad guy. And so we corrected him and we told him that that word meant, that word was a slang for male genitalia. And he probably didn't need to use that word unless he wanted to get detention in school, because that's probably what was going to happen if he ever used that word again. And so that night, whenever we were walking their dogs, we were just kind of laughing about what had happened over dinner. And he was like, I didn't know. And I'm like, buddy, it's okay. You didn't know, but now you do. And so now you have a responsibility to not use that word anymore. And he was like, mommy, kids have asked me at school if I cuss. And I was like, your friends ask you this? And he was like, no, not my friends. Just random kids at school have asked me if I cuss. And I said, no, I do not cuss. And they say, why, man? Why don't you cuss? And he goes, this is how he answered me, you all. He said, I don't know how, but my mom always knows when things like that happen. She just knows. I don't know how she knows. Or I'm going to feel so bad about cussing that I'm going to go home and I'm going to confess that to her. And so I would just rather not have to confess it. And if I don't want to have to confess it, then I don't need to do it. And so I went to bed that night with this joy in my heart and a pretty cheesy grin on my face, because TJ and I had that conversation really easily. How were we able to have that conversation so easily? And I'll tell you something else too. TJ is a pretty easygoing kid. He rarely lies. He does what he says he's going to do. And he's not easily angered. I even remember a question one time that was posed in his class at church, and we were asked to talk about it after class, and the question was something like, how do you calm yourself down when you get really angry? And so I asked him the question, and then I sat there for a few minutes, and I said, TJ, when was the last time you were really, really angry? And he looked at me and he shrugged his shoulders and he said, I don't know, mommy. I don't remember the last time I was really angry. And I think that's amazing. But I also want to tell you, just as an aside, that I heard a pastor in a sermon one time say that anger is unconfessed sin manifested. We get so weary from being mad at ourselves because of something that we have done and we need to get it off of our chest, that we turn that anger and that rage outward because we're tired of being mad at ourselves. So TJ and me, we've been working on this for a long time. even my older kids, Hunter and Holly, and now Colby, we've been working at this for a while, a really long while, if you think about Hunter and Holly. And these are the questions that I ask myself whenever a difficult conversation happens. And over the last, probably over the last 4 weeks or so, TJ has come to me with a couple of distinct confessions that I can think of. A YouTube video that he watched and he knew he had no business watching. Something that he searched up on his phone that he had no business looking at. He needed to tell me that right away. He knows that I can't forgive any of that, but we can go to Jesus together. I'll definitely pray with you, and we'll ask Jesus for forgiveness, and then we'll talk about it with each other so that we can be healed. And I always try to reciprocate his confession with a confession of my own. I want him to know he's not the only one who's ever engaged in behavior that's not God's best for him. But these are the questions that I ask myself when I'm in a difficult conversation. And it's really kind of this revolving set of questions when I'm in a conversation with anybody, really. Because at any point in time, the conversation can head toward a sensitive topic. And these are the questions. How can I represent Jesus in this moment? How can I believe the best in this situation? And how do I keep them talking? Now, I know that these questions take a great deal of forethought and intentionality. And I'm going to get them wrong. Probably 50% of the time, I'm going to get it wrong. And another 25% of the time, I'm not even going to think about these questions at all. But that's a perfect time to quickly apologize and ask that person for forgiveness. So when you think about it like that, it's all good, right? But I truly believe that the answer to all three of these questions can be found in 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8. And I want to read it to you out of the Passion Translation. Oh, I love the Passion Translation. I cannot wait until the whole Bible is in the Passion Translation. Right now, it's just the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs. But take a listen to 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8. This is the love chapter. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. Love refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not deal in shame or disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what's wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as a defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. That's it in a nutshell. Love never stops loving. Now, if God is love, and he is, according to 1 John 4:8, then 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 is all true about God. It is not all true about me, but I'm constantly striving for that. That's the standard. And if you think about the love chapter, those answers, you can come up with those answers yourselves. How can I represent Jesus in this moment? I can believe the best. How can I believe the best in this situation? I can never stop loving. And how can I keep them talking? I don't have to deal in shame or disrespect or deal in selfishness, or make it about me. That's how I keep them talking. And I've also lived long enough that with TJ and Holly and Hunter and Colby, again, I don't always do it, but I've learned what not to say. And I'm going to share that with you because I think it's really important. there's never a place for name calling, even funny names like Knucklehead. Those names that we call our kids when they do something foolish, those names can be very damaging. There's never a good reason to shame or bring it up over and over again. There's no room for advice, because advice can be received as criticism a lot of times. Even if you're dealing with a toddler, it really can be beneficial for you to go, "Man, buddy, I'm so sorry that you did that. How can that be different next time?" Let them come up with what they feel like would be a more beneficial reaction. We say, "I'm sorry." We say, "Thank you." We say, "Can I give you a hug? What can I do to help? I'm sad that you felt like you had to lie about this. What can I do to help you trust me?" As parents, we empower our kids when we're not jumping in to solve every problem. We also empower them when we admit our faults too. Guys, this is important. This is really, really big stuff. We are living in 2019 where most generally we hold in our hands a device that will lead us into sinful behavior at any hour of the day or night. Our kids are holding these same devices in their hands, and you can lock it down as best you want to. But our kids are pretty smart, and they can figure out restrictions and limits and passcodes. We have to be a safe space for them to go, "Man, Mommy, I messed up so bad." And with that, I think I just have a quick, fun, open share for us. Hi, my name's Jill. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I celebrate recovery from overeating and codependency. I still struggle with insecurity and fear. So earlier this week, TJ and Mitch kind of started joking amongst themselves about the way that Mitch is not super supportive on the sports field. In fact, I've kind of taken to calling him Demon Dad because he doesn't show his best self whenever TJ's up to bat or he's playing horse with somebody. He can be really not super kind. And this isn't anything that Mitch will be offended at me sharing, trust me. So on Monday, TJ had basketball tryouts for the middle school basketball team. And I'll just go on ahead and tell you that he made the team. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to be a really fun seventh grade year because we're going to be able to watch him on the basketball court a few nights a week during the fall. But when we were taking TJ to school on Monday morning, his dad kind of looked at him in the rearview mirror and he was like, "Hey buddy, you got basketball tryouts today. Can I come watch you and yell at you and tell you all the things you're doing wrong?" And we all in the car, we just all kind of chuckled, and TJ was like, "Let's don't do that." And so we just kind of dismissed it. But Mitch knows. He knows that he has not been a safe sports dad. And TJ knows that Mitch hasn't been a safe sports dad. And we are actively working on it. But even with Mitch kind of joking about it and making himself the butt of the jokes and saying, "Can I come and watch practice and yell at you and tell you all the things you're doing wrong?" That's a confession in its own right. That's dragging that behavior out into the light. That's kind of like saying in front of TJ, "I know I do this and I know it's not cool and we're going to work on it." And I feel like we're not where we need to be, but we are certainly no longer in a place of denial, because I can tell you some pretty terrible stories about when my older kids were in sports, because Mitch was Demon Dad then too, only he felt like it was completely and totally okay. So, this isn't perfection. This is progress. Thanks for letting me share. Let's close with the serenity prayer, and I'll talk to you again next week. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Thanks so much for listening to Jesus and Jill just for today.